messed up that question real bad.
No, you didn't. You were fine because you were demonstrating why you are so passionate about Twitter and LinkedIn.
I won way back. Oh, I don't know. There was one of them, I think you said about why did I not want to go to university and why was the grounding, and it just kind of caught me off guard, and I just, you'll catch it when you listen to the replay.
It'll be fine, you know, because the fact is, I don't want my podcast to sound like people are on their A game. I want them to be on their authentic game. This is the way I roll. This is the way I talk. This is the way I think. And consequently, you know, one of the reasons I didn't send you questions ahead of time is, I didn't want wooden Sarah Townsend showing up like Pinocchio and just reciting copy points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what the worst marketers do.
Yeah, I prefer to chat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like winging it.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Years of improv comedy in me have made it clear that I like keeping it loose. All right, so we were talking last week about your brand new book, Survival Skills for Freelancers. And before we get into it too far, I just want to read to listeners, who should read this book? And blah, blah, blah. If you are, bullet point, dreaming of working for yourself but need encouragement to take the first step. Bullet point, wondering if you've got what it takes to make a success of self-employment. Bullet point, new to freelance life and want to give your business the best chance of success. Bullet point, struggling with the isolation and uncertainty of being freelance. Bullet point, making a good living from your talents, but you need help with the running a business bit. That covers a whole lot of people, especially in COVID-19 pandemic lockdown, not just the US, not just the UK, but the entire world. When you were setting out to write a book, did you have a specific person, like literally named person in mind when you wrote it to kind of keep you focused?
I did. Me.
Okay. So is this kind of a note to your younger self?
Yeah, literally. I wanted to, so rewind, I went freelance with no plans to go freelance. And I went freelance because I was pregnant with my daughter. I was working full time. And I knew that I did not have it in me to be a full time parent. I need work because I'm very, very task driven. And I wanted to keep that going. So I was juggling starting a business with being a brand new mom. I think my daughter was 6 months old when she went part-time to nursery. And it was tough, really tough. There was just about an internet, but there was no social media. There was no online Facebook groups or anything that you could kind of go, oh, hey, you know, I've had this really bad day. This has happened. I've got this big challenge. What do I do about it? There was none of that online support. So I wanted to create a book that 29-year-old me would have loved when I started out. And honestly, the reviews that I've had so far have proved to me that that's exactly what I've done. Because the comments that are coming in are saying things like, oh, this is just like having your own personal business mentor. It's like having an expert in your pocket. It's like a comforting arm around your shoulder telling you that everything's going to be okay. And all that sort of thing. And those comments are so inspiring to me because it just shows that what I set out to do is exactly what I've achieved. So I think that's a win. I'm not very good at celebrating my own wins, but I would say that that is one.
Well, and I think it's well deserved because as I read through the book, I'm seeing it as a great first book for people who are maybe considering doing this or starting out doing it, or maybe are a couple of years in and struggling a little bit because, you know, I've got a ton of books that frankly I don't read because they are dense. They are not personable. The voice coming from it does not feel, maybe it's heavy on authoritative, but it's not very heavy on personal and you can do it, which your book, it clearly is. So if I were to recommend this book to anybody, it would be the person right now who's, you know, they think of it as a side hustle, but I call it a soul hustle, which is, you know, this is the thing I desperately want to do, but I don't know how to get started. This book would be great for them. It would be great for anybody. You know, I would give this to college students because as they come out into a totally different world, this book will help them get started on laying that foundation so they can have a successful career long term.
Do you know, that's interesting as well, because I did start one chapter with everybody has their own journey to self-employment and everybody's journey is different. No two are the same. So what I thought was that the vast majority of people do what I have done, what you did, what many people who we know have done, and that is find your feet within an employed role, build up your skills, and then think, okay, right, I'm ready to do something for me. But what I found fascinating was that there has been, without checking the exact figure, it's something like 74% increase in 16 to 24-year-olds setting up their new businesses. That's a big increase. It was hopelessly, I can't remember the number of years, but it was a really significant figure. It shows that it's not just something that you do when you are experienced in a particular career. You know, maybe it's a fresh option for younger people now.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Culture Chicken Brand Egg. What's that? It's one of my most requested presentations, now available as in-person live or virtual online presentations. If you've got a group or association that loves presentations that inspire, inform, entertain, and get you going at the same time, we should talk. Head on over to dpknewton.com/speaking to download my full speaker media kit today. And let's start talking about how I can help you get your party started.
I think there are possibly a couple of other things going on that are accelerating that, not the least of which is that younger people have seen their parents, and I'm old enough to remember my parents were, you get one job, you have that job your entire life, and then you retire and you're done, and you've had one job in your career.
That's very true.
My career, I'm a bit of a frog jumping from one thing to another, but it's, I think I've been at like 15 different jobs when I became a copywriter. Before that, I had countless jobs that I would call task-oriented jobs rather than career-oriented jobs. Mm. Well, now the younger people, you know, and all the sociologists and anthropologists, or I think it's mostly sociologists who say this, the days of having one job are over. It's likely that everybody will have between 10 and 15 separate positions in their career between, you know, the start of their professional life and the end of it.
Mm-hmm. You're already there.
I'm just
blazing the trail, DP.
That's right. Blazing is right. I set everything on fire as I go. But it's really true. And a lot of those younger people are looking at it and saying, well, if I have to do that, why can't I do it my way? And, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with the whole digital nomads movement of people who are writing copy in Bali or wherever they want to be because they can do it wherever. So, yeah, I'm going to be in Bali. Then I'm going to Spain and maybe I'll swing down to the Caribbean someplace for a while. And, you know, you can do that before you get things like houses and children and dogs.
Yeah, not so easily once you've got those.
Right. Well, for all those people out there who don't have houses, children, or dogs, a book like this is really incredibly helpful because, you know, a lot of people, when they have that kind of side hustle thing, they have a pipe dream. It's like, one day I want to open a massage therapy practice someplace, but they never do anything about it. Then there are people who are like, no, I'm serious about this, but I don't know how to or when to flip the switch from I'm doing it for friends to, no, I'm doing it for people who pay me 100% of the time, you know, as a full-time job. Mm. And there's a ton of great advice in here. What one piece of advice or one takeaway do you hope that your readers grab onto and really adhere to throughout their careers?
That is hard to answer because I feel like because it's only a couple of weeks since the launch, I feel like I haven't let the dust settle for long enough to really choose one thing. For me, there are specifically two things that stand out. Well, let's cheat and do two. The one that is an overarching tip, really a thread throughout the book, is working smarter, not harder. Because there's too much, we all know this, there's too much of this hustle mentality out there. It's like people go on platforms, not me, but people go on platforms like LinkedIn to brag about how busy they are. Oh, everything's crazy, you know, oh, I've got too many clients and whatever. And that often is the situation that I'm in, but I don't think it should be worn as a badge of honor. I genuinely do not think that is good for mental health. And I think the more we push ourselves to compete with that culture and that sort of accepted reality, we're all heading towards that horrible, stressful feeling of overwhelm. And then ultimately we risk burning out.
Yeah. Okay. You just described what I like to call fat stacks of cash on a Ferrari. You know, it's the guy leaning up against the hood. He's got, look at this. I earned this in 16 days doing nothing but SEO or selling via eBay or some stupid thing like that. And if you want that type of lifestyle, there are people who will take your money and teach you how they got it by teaching suckers like you to do it.
Yeah.
But for the rest of us who don't necessarily want to have that fat stacks of cash on the Ferrari lifestyle, but would love to have a lifestyle where I could take a 2-week vacation every year with my family and not worry about the relationships I have with clients, I would love to have enough income streams or profit centers for my business so that were I to get sick, the mortgage could still be paid and my children could still be eating. You know, it. What you're talking about and what you talk about in the book is creating that type of business based on what you love, but also doing the stuff you have to make it a viable going concern for the long term. And in here, I remember reading, I can't find it, I'm trying to page through it right now, where you talk about, I'm not the highest paid copywriter. I'm not making the biggest bucks of everybody. However,
I'm not stacks of cash on the Ferrari guy. Yeah, I am not that person. But
well, let's talk about you and your business. What size business do you envisage for yourself? And what size business do you have now? Are they the same thing now that you've been doing it for 20 years?
Do you know they actually are? I never had aspiration to take on staff. So don't get me wrong. I now literally. Oh,
I'm just saying. I'm pointing
to it completely. Then you too.
Okay, I have to explain to listeners when she said I had no desire to take on staff. I immediately pointed at my nose with two fingers, and she must have thought that I was trying to pop a pimple or something. When no, I was saying no. That's right on the nose, which is. I never want to grow this into a small agency that purchased by a larger agency. That is so key. Just knowing that about yourself from the get-go means you're going to make decisions that are right for that vision, not the vision of I'm going to grow it to a 50-person agency and then sell it for $5 million to a bigger agency and then go on to my next thing. And I'm a serial entrepreneur because I want fat stacks of cash on a Ferrari.
Yeah, that's never been me. I wanted to earn enough to have a comfortable lifestyle so that I didn't need to worry about money, because I was brought up with this massive anxiety around money, like a scarcity mindset. I wanted to get myself out of that. So I have worked really hard. I still work really hard, but I have now got to the stage where I can provide, but I've been a single parent for 13 years. I think that's worth mentioning. So it's been me and my kids, shared custody with my ex, but yeah, you know, they've been living with me for the most of the time. And having the ability to provide a safe home and a place where I'd never, ever wanted my children to be spoiled. That was a real self-awareness thing when I became a parent. I really didn't want that to happen. And it hasn't. I used to say if my kids wanted something, I'd say, oh, okay, well, you know, it's your birthday in 2 months. And I think that that has made them more aware of the value of money. I think generally in society, the more well-off members of society just don't really have that healthy respect for money that I was. So this is the pro side of growing up with a scarcity mindset. It does make you appreciate the value of money. So for me, being able to not have to scrabble around and have that desperation. Oh my gosh, you know, I've got an inquiry. I have to get this work. I have to get this job or this new client. Having that comfortable, having worked to the stage where I've got to that comfortable position, it's empowering. It gives you the opportunity to say no. And that's not something that a lot of freelancers find easy. A lot of self-employed people cannot turn work down, or they feel they cannot turn work down. So I guess the ideal scenario is getting to the place where you judge and select and handpick the projects and the clients that you really want to work for and with and on, rather than just going, there's a copywriting job going, I must get it. Not everything is the right fit for every person. It's always been very much about fit for me.
Oh, and what a luxury it is.
Yeah, it is a luxury. It is.
Well, because if you think about it, I'm sorry, I'm a metaphor analogy guy. So I use metaphors and analogy whenever I get kind of stuck with, what am I really trying to say? And what I'm trying to say is, it's a luxury to go to a tailor to get a bespoke suit in a world where most of the stuff is off the rack. And, I need a new shirt. I have to buy it off the rack. It doesn't fit, but at least they're paying me and fine. To be able to go and say, you know what? I love your product, your service, your offering, whatever it is, and I would love to be associated with it. Take on that work rather than, you know what? I really don't want to write for, in my case, tobacco, or I don't want to write for firearms, or, you know, things I don't believe in.
Yeah.
And let's face it, sometimes you have to do things you may not 100% like, especially when you're getting started. But if you know who you are, and you are being it actively every single day, and who you are, what you do, and how you do it, you're going to attract the right people. And one of the things I want to underline that you said a little bit ago was the ability to say no.
Yeah, super key.
Oh, you are not kidding. I tell you. So if I were to say to someone listening to this podcast, have you ever thought about creating your own business? Have you ever wondered what it would be like to command your own hours and systems and processes? Have you ever thought about what it'd be like to be able to say no to work? This is a book I think you should get and read through and really think about, even if you're kind of dabbling in that area, because there's a lot of truth in here. Because some of the hard truth is talking about how to build a thick skin when you've got a highly sensitive one, like you talk about in one of the sections of the book.
Yeah.
Especially when you're working in a completely subjective field like copywriting.
And it's not just that it's a subjective field, I don't think. I think anybody in the creative industries, we put so much of ourselves into every piece of work. And for me, putting this book out there into the universe when there is so much of me in it is kind of terrifying. Like, I got to the first 10 reviews and I think I'm on 70 something on the UK site, but I've even got reviews from the US and I've had people buy it and shout about it on LinkedIn from Sri Lanka and Singapore and Australia and Portugal. And I had no idea that it was going to be so far reaching and so relevant in so many different territories. But there is such a risk of if somebody hated it, I would be, you know, but again, I'm not in control of who buys it. I could probably pick somebody out of a crowded room and say, you're not going to like my book, because there are people out there who like the very functional, I was going to say practical, but my book is full of practical tips, but the kind of very dry business books.
I would also say a lot of people like the, what I would think of as almost recipe books, where it's here's checklist, checklist, checklist. It's literally how to upload files or something, that type of stuff, as opposed to conceptually, do you understand what's necessary to get the stuff done?
There's no vulnerability in that, though, is there? Imagine I was writing a book about the history of transport. There's none of me in that book. Whereas this, because it's all the advice in the book is based on my own personal experience. So it's true, hard-won, lived experience. And that is a very vulnerable thing to put out into the world. But yes, it's paid off. People are really relating to that personal story, I think. And that's all part of my own personal brand, I guess.
Hey, nonfiction branders. Did you know I wrote a book? Well, I did. And it's called Rotoma, the ROI of Social Media Top of Mind. I wrote it with my colleague Spencer X. Smith, and it's all about Rotoma, an acronym that means Return on Top of Mind Awareness. Best-selling author and NYU Stern School of Business professor Scott Galloway called it a book that starches the fluff from social media and helps managers allocate capital and find the unicorn among unicorns, ROI. And Chief Content Officer at Marketing Profs, Ann Handley, said, "This isn't just a practical way to think about the return on social media. It's also a spot-on, accurate way to reframe your social efforts." Check out all the 5-star reviews on Amazon by searching Rotoma, R-O-T-O-M-A. Pick up your copy today and start building your personal, professional, and small business brand the Rotoma way.
Yeah, you can tell this is a very personal book because all you have to do is read the introduction and count the number of uses of the personal pronoun I, and you literally, this is me, my experience, I'm laying myself out there. Can you talk about the excitement and trepidation you felt releasing this into the wild?
Yeah, I think the most difficult stage of the process for me, being a copywriter and editor by trade, was actually knowing when to stop tinkering, because I kept thinking, oh, I need to do this. And I was literally not having sleepless nights, but I was literally waking in the night and having those half awake, half asleep thoughts where you're like, oh, I need to mention this, or I need to quote this person, or I need to follow up with this person. Because logistically, quoting over 100 freelancers and having the permissions across all the platforms, I had permission from email, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter. Keeping track of all that was just, I'm going off at a tangent again, but yeah, the actual drawing a line under it and going, this is my best version. Now I'm going to leave it and I'm going to send it off to be made beautiful, because I honestly do think it's beautiful inside and out. But yeah, the day that it went live, I had fortunately had a team of, I call them my cheerleading team. I think Amazon call it a street team. And I had sent out preview copies to them just to get a feel for what they thought, and to kind of get their support with spreading the word on launch day. And they were all other freelancers and they were absolutely phenomenal with their support, particularly considering so many of them are, on paper, my competitors. So yeah, I mean, it's been a fantastic process, but very vulnerable. The launch, the excitement around launch day, it's just like my birthday. I'm a big birthday person.
Yeah.
It was like my birthday and Christmas rolled up into one, with tied with a great big bow and sprinkled with unicorn dust or something like that. I don't know. It was mad. It was a crazy, crazy, wild roller coaster of a day.
Have you always wanted to write a book?
No. No, quite the opposite. I actually had that kind of anecdote in the book, but it was one of the things that got lost in the final edit. But I never did. And they say everybody has a book in them, but I always used to say, no, I just don't think I want to write a book ever, because I write for a living. Why would I want to spend my spare time writing? It just was never on the cards, and it just kind of happened. It's sort of the idea came together, and it happened very intensely, but reasonably quickly in terms of how long it probably usually takes to write a book from start to finish.
How long did it take you?
I've never actually quantified it, but I do know, because of the way my brain is wired, I am very, very task focused. So when I get the idea of writing a book in my head, I want to start it and I want to finish it, and I want it all to be neatly packaged up and ready to go. So I actually gave myself the whole of January off client work to work on this. And then people wonder why, when they say to me, oh, how many copies have you sold? I don't care. It's never been about sales for me. It's entirely about how many people's lives I can improve and make easier and reassure and tell them that they're normal, everything's okay. And yeah, that's what's driving me completely.
We're talking about the book, Survival Skills for Freelancers, Tried and Tested Tips to Help You Ace Self-Employment Without Burnout. It's available right now on Amazon.com and Amazon.co.uk. Is that what they call it over there?
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
And it's an excellent book for anybody who wants to test the mettle of their side hustle, what I would call soul hustle, and whether it's you could get started. And frankly, this is a book where you can open it up, read a section, put it down, cogitate, spend a week, maybe get inspired by something, go out and do it, get it done, nail down that part of your platform, your foundation for your business, and then come back to it. It's not like you have to sit down in one reading and read the whole thing.
That said, a lot of people have used the word unputdownable. And that for me is absolutely insane, because have you ever read a business book that is unputdownable? I haven't. Maybe I haven't read as many as most people, but that to me feels like such a win, because people are so bought into the story and I guess bought into my voice through the book. But everybody who's saying it's unputdownable has also said something along the lines of, it's going to be permanently on my desk, I'm going to be dipping into it all the time, going to refer back to it time and time again. And yeah, it is like you say, you can pick it up. You could just read one of the myths and the reality and the advice and yeah, come back to the rest another day.
Well, there you go. It's getting great reviews all over the place. So check it out. Survival Skills for Freelancers by Sarah Townsend. You know, I could talk to you for another 3 or 4 hours, but unfortunately we got to wrap up this podcast. I'm talking with Sarah Townsend, the author of Survival Skills for Freelancers. Sarah, how can people follow you, get engaged with you, or just find out what's going on in the world of Townsend?
LinkedIn is a good place to connect with me. If you fancy connecting after listening to this podcast chat, then by all means, drop me a little connection request so I know where you've come from. I'm usually pretty good at accepting random requests as long as there's kind of a reason behind it. So yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm also fairly active on Twitter, where I am STE Copywriting. That's Sarah Townsend Editorial. And if you want more details about the book, there's survivalskillsforfreelancers.com, and that links to my copywriting website.
Well, definitely check that out, because again, I'm just getting to know Sarah, but I already love her. You know, she's very cool, very personable, and very real. And that to me is the Thank foundation you. For any successful, what I love to call completely you, completely true brand. It's all Sarah Townsend, and it's all wonderful. So I'm DP Knutton for the Nonfiction Brand Podcast, and I would love for you guys to like, subscribe, refer, and review this podcast. Most of all, the review part, because that helps people find the podcast. And she is
Sarah Townsend, marketing copywriter and best-selling author of Survival Skills for Freelancers.
Well, you heard it here first. Check it out. And I will be talking to you guys next week. Bye-bye.